Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Gavin, you're the best thing since sunlight. And you're listening to the Therapy Suite right here on UKF Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I welcome back mental health practitioner Nicola Knoll. Well, we'll be discussing men's mental health as part of Men's Mental Health Day on the 19th of December. Nicola, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm trying to get used to, as you are as well, the darkness, you know, is more... It's getting darker earlier, there's less sunlight. But you was in LA recently, so you've got a dose of sunlight, didn't you?
I'm trying to eke it out as much as I can. I'm trying to hang on to every bit of sunlight. I actually couldn't believe when I came back. Like, I was just sitting there not long ago before I came onto my phone. And 1 minute there was some light and the next minute there wasn't. And I was just like, I really, because I was away when the clocks went
back. Oh, that's
back.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
I really felt it when I came back. And you can really see how the change in the hours can really affect people's mental health, for sure.
Oh, of course, of course. And I know what you mean, because it does have an effect, isn't it, when it gets dark outside and we've got less sunlight. It definitely has an effect, isn't it?
Yeah, like the other day, it was kind of getting, you know, darker around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was thinking, what is happening?
Yeah.
Well, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I know, that's ridiculous. Especially if there's like, if you get the clouds, you know, it's cloudy. That makes things even worse.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Nick, it's always good to have you back on the show, Nicola. Remind us a bit about your background, because I know how extensive it is, but just remind us.
So, but anybody who hasn't listened to us before, or when I've been on to be interviewed by yourself, my name is Nicola Knoll, and I'm a solution-focused hypnotherapist, specialist psychiatric nurse, and have been for over 2 decades, and a mindset coach. And I have a business called Brainworks Therapy. And Brainworks Therapy helps professional women reprogram their mind, rewire their brain, build confidence and resilience to feel more empowered and manage their emotions better. And I do that through therapy and coaching.
Absolutely.
And so my main mission with Brainworks Therapy is to continue the conversation of mental health and to make a global impact upon mental health. And that's done by a free online coffee and chat that I do with Mums in Business International, and also what we're doing here today and taking it wider and further to the listeners.
Fantastic. Basically, let's kick it off. Nicola, with your 2 decades of frontline experience in mental health, what do you see as the biggest challenge men face when it comes to looking after their mental well-being?
So I feel like men face an enormous pressure to keep everything under wraps and just get on with it, quote unquote.
I know what you mean, yes.
And society's just drilled it into them. There's always lots of subliminal messages, but society, one of them being like, stay strong, the silent type. And that's a huge barrier to acknowledging mental health struggles. Now, that's not even before we've spoken about the intersectional stuff. So whether what culture you come from, whether you're a man of colour or a man of ethnicity, then trying to express your mental health needs, or maybe that it's declining. And the reality is often men just face it alone, and men often face just as much, if not more, stress, anxiety, trauma as anyone else, but they're taught to bottle it up And at Brainworks Therapy, it's all about changing that narrative. So I'm here to show men that looking after their mental health doesn't make them weak. It makes them wise and it makes them resilient.
Absolutely. And you mentioned something early on that was really interesting. Us guys have been kind of conditioned to, like, you know, through indirect messages, maybe in media, whatever it might be, that we just need to just get on with it, put it all in the past, whatever it is, just, you know, bury our feelings and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and as a guy, I see that as well. Do you know what I mean? And I think to myself, oh, you know, come on, Gab, whatever, you know, just get on with it. And but sometimes you've got to process those emotions, haven't you? Otherwise, yes. There's going to be repression. It will come out somehow or another in a different form, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And stress has a very funny way of doing that. And so what we're not saying is repress it or ignore it. Like, feel it and move through it. So it's not the absence of, it's about being able to have the tools to work through it. But unfortunately, when men don't feel that they're in a position to even express it or express that they're having some sort of mental health decline or their mental wellness isn't as good as it should or optimum level for them, then they don't get the opportunity to get those tools.
Absolutely. And with those tools, I suppose comes, like, for example, self-talk, journaling, obviously talking to other people about what might be happening and what's the issues and that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. And so they're definitely going to feel more isolated, because when we look at the narratives that have been before, even as, like, quote unquote, like a joke, but it's like man up or boys don't cry, or it's, if you think back to even the youngest time,
yeah,
I'm gonna say 99% of men, boys, when they fall over, rather than letting them just cry and then being like, okay, you're okay, it'll be like, oh, that didn't hurt, don't cry, that didn't hurt. And it's like shutting down the emotional processing before it's even began. Absolutely. So how are we expecting men, boys, young adult men to be in touch with their feelings when from day dot we're shutting down that process?
Absolutely. In fact, we've also been, like, kind of programmed, isn't it, from a young age, and as soon as something happens later on in life, we're like, oh no, we've got to shut that down now, we've just got to get on with it. And, you know, and I appreciate we've got, you know, just men and women, we've got things to do in life, we've got to move forwards, you know. But I suppose the main thing is we've got to deal with, if we're having some real challenges, mental well-being wise, we've got to try and get some support for it. Because otherwise, this is when people end up getting too stressed out or breaking down, or, you know, things manifesting in a different way, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, when we don't deal with it, we're then forced to make time more times than none through illness.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, if you have an unhealthy mental well-being state, if you're in that kind of state, that can lead to illness, can't it?
Yeah. So there's a direct correlation with cardiovascular disease, with heart attacks, with stroke, with diabetes, with high blood pressure. When we don't deal with, stress is the number one killer.
Yeah. 100%. Because stress can lead to, like, as well as high blood pressure, that obviously the side effect of it is heart issues, stroke. Because blood pressure and all that has an effect. Do you know what I mean? It has an effect, doesn't it?
Yeah. You
know? I think it's underestimated how, I think some people don't think about it. They don't think, oh, you know, if you're down for a little bit or your mental well-being is not right, oh, you know, oh, lean to heart attack or stroke. No, that can't be right. You know, because it sounds quite an extreme, but, you know, our emotions affect our body and high blood pressure, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Like, you can't do one without the other. Mm. It doesn't happen. Like, there is no health without mental health. And it's it's as it goes, and you know, the mind's linked to the body's linked to the mind.
Absolutely. Brainwax therapy has a unique approach to mental health. Can you explain how you're helping men rewire their brains and overcome deeply ingrained patterns of trauma?
So at Brainwax Therapy, I focus on the brain, plain and simple. And when I've had men, men often come to me because even though I specialise in women, I do have men as well. So
just wanted to make that clear.
Because yeah. I was like, well, didn't she just say that she specialised? Yes, I did, but I do actually treat men as well.
I know, you support men as well, absolutely. I know that, 100%.
So men often come to me with a deep-rooted patterns and ways of thinking that keep them stuck in cycles of stress or self-doubt. So the methods that I use are grounded in neuroscience, and it's to help them build new, healthier pathways in their brain. And this isn't just about putting a plaster on it or over the issue. It's about creating lasting change. So with trauma work, for instance, I help clients process what's happened and then build the resilience to move forward. But it's done in a solution-focused way. So what we're not doing is we're not concentrating on the problem. What we're doing is concentrating on their strengths, concentrating on their brilliance, and I ask them to repeat that. And it's powerful, and it creates a powerful shift that generally starts transforming their lives and gets them to move into a different state of being.
That sounds brilliant. I just got so caught up in what you were saying there. I thought, that's just fantastic, you know. And I'm guessing, obviously, it must be very effective.
Really effective. So in terms of clinically to what we would know as conventional therapy, it's extremely effective. So it's very rare that I will have somebody pass 12 sessions. And the only people that I will have past 12 sessions, or who in fact only ever make it past 7 sessions, are people that normally chronically have like chronic depression or chronic anxiety, and it's a bit more harder to shift. But generally, no more than 12 sessions.
12 sessions is nothing. Yeah. I don't mean to be funny or nothing, but honestly, yeah. I just think in the grandest scheme of things, and it might even be 12, as you mentioned, I mean, it could be 7 to 12. It could be, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It 12 might be the most, basically. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, that's not that many sessions, isn't it?
I don't know. And so it's quite rapid and transformational, long-lasting results.
I think that's brilliant. We'll just go to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So thank you very much, as always, for that intro into what you do and how you're helping, especially us guys. Basically, so many men struggle with reaching out for support. This is just kind of an ongoing thing, unfortunately. Yeah. How does your background in forensic and acute mental health inform your approach to breaking down those barriers?
So for me, my background in forensic and acute mental health taught me to engage with people who may feel that no one can understand them or their issues or that they think they're too much. So I work with men who've been through incredibly challenging situations. So whether it's trauma, stress, or PTSD, I approach each client with compassion, zero judgment. And at Brainworks Therapy, I create the space where men feel safe to speak openly and sometimes for the first time. And when they realise they're being heard, they're being understood, it breaks down those barriers and they're ready to embrace real change.
Can you give us an example of some of the trauma that men have gone through? Like, for example, I'm just going to throw it out there, maybe it's a relationship breakdown or money issues. What were the actual causes of the trauma?
So a lot of the time, it's childhood trauma. So with working in forensic settings, so for anybody who's not really clued up who's listening, we're talking about anything that's within the judicial and custodial setting. So anywhere in that line, whether it be prison cells, prisons, or they've got a conviction in the community. When you look at the men that come into those situations, it's very, very, very rare that there won't be any childhood trauma present. That affects everything. And so when you look back, that all have affected their schooling, the amount of time they spent in a classroom, which will be not a lot, to the time that they spent outside of a classroom, to the support they have been given during that time. So rather than, which happens a lot, is, you know, they might be seen as troublesome or chaotic or a problem child. If there was interventions made at that time, that could have stopped that. So we often say that when we're looking at children, we're looking at the mental health of the future, and we are. Mm. And it's how we intercept that. So a lot of men, they will, it will point back to their childhood, and then trauma's carried forward. Because one of the more prevalent diagnoses within the prison community with mental health is personality disorder. Mm. And personality disorder, 9 times out of 10, is born from trauma and is born from childhood trauma.
Okay. I've done some reading on personality disorders like years ago, and my understanding is where someone finds it difficult to learn different skills to move forwards, and they use the same kind of strategies that they always do, which don't work, and mm-hmm. but they have no choice but to use them because that's all they kind of know, and that's how they kind of unfortunately go through life.
Yeah, so they learn what we'd call maladaptive ways or non-conventional ways of getting their needs met. So that could present as, and which is very common in prison, like self-harming or cutting. So when they come into prison, they're issued a few things. And if they're a smoker, one of them is normally like a vape pen to see them through till they get money or get canteen money or all the rest of it. And if for some reason, say, they don't get that, what's a normal response is to start self-harming or cutting or acting out in some way. And that's what we would call a maladaptive way of them being able to attain what they want. So they don't have the emotional regulation skills to regulate themselves, to be like, you know what, that's a bit but if I ask and then I wait, I will get. But it turns out to be like, I want now, so if you don't give me now, I'm going to threaten to kill myself and cut up, and then I will get a vape.
Okay. Oh dear. So it can be, and supporting obviously someone with a personality disorder can be quite, is there quite some challenges involved in that?
I think it's very challenging because of the pure, of the essence of their behaviours. The behaviours are there to draw you in, to be divisive, and then split. So they can be quite tricky customers to deal with.
Oh, no, of course, that's fair enough.
And yeah, quite resource intensive, shall we say.
Oh, okay. You specialise in trauma, PTSD and emotion management. Which are major issues for men today? And how do you work with clients to address these areas in a way that builds resilience?
When it comes to trauma and PTSD, men often try to tough it out, which only builds pressure. So at Brainwork Therapy, what I do is I take solution-focused hypnotherapy or the solution-focused approach and help men not only address what's happened, but also teaching them principles and practical strategies to manage their emotions. So we focus on resilience building so that they're not only coping with life, but thriving instead of their past. So it's about equipping. Oh my God, what is happening?
Don't worry, I have my days as well, believe me.
What is happening? Equipping them with tools. Oh my God, Gavin. to handle and the challenges. So they feel confident and so they feel empowered rather than overwhelmed. So previously when I was saying it's not about the absence of, it's about working through. And that's what the tools are for, to help them work through, not imagine a life where there was none of these problems. Because that's the thing, isn't it? When a lot of the times when people come to me and say, I want to get better, and I say, okay, what's better to you? And they say, look, I won't be anxious. And I'll be like, if you're waiting for a day that you're never going to experience any anxiety, you'll be waiting a long time. Mm-hmm. So it's not that you're going to be anxious every day, mm-hmm, but I'm not going to say to you, there's never going to be another day in your life where you're not going to be anxious, because that's pure lies.
But it's and I totally agree with you, because it's part of human nature, isn't it? The thing is, I suppose we need to experience some level of anxiety. It's when it goes above that kind of threshold where it starts affecting your day-to-day living, it's affecting you all the time. But we need that, because I think that helps us helps with coping and motivating us, pushing us to kind of find solutions to whatever it might be. Because as humans, we go through challenges every day.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And so it's not the absence of, it's the fact of being able to work through, being able to tolerate the emotion or build your emotional tolerance and know that you'll be okay. Because things like anxiety, they're there as a warning signal, and we need warning signals in our brain to warn us of danger. But what we don't need is a smoke alarm going off every time there's a whiff of toast. And that's the difference. It's about your smoke alarm being in check. Mm. So it will go off when there's a fire, not when there's a little bit of smoke in the air, because you've lit a josh stick.
That was a really good example you just gave. I just think that's brilliant. Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. Because we all need those warning alarm systems in our minds to say, look, there's something not right here. And you get a bit anxious. And it's our emotions telling us, you know what, there's something not right here. But you're 100% right. There's something that's not even worth, it's just something you have to just work through. However, your alarm bell goes off so loud, it's, you know, and I think that's where people might, for example, get stressed out from work or whatever else it might be, you know, because it heightens itself, isn't it? You get anxiety in this area, there's loads of anxiety, and you kind of carry that with you into your normal everyday life.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
Which is the last thing anybody needs, you know. Can you tell us more about solution? I'm doing it now, isn't it, Nicola? can you tell us more about solution-focused hypnotherapy? How does it differ from traditional therapy, and why it might appeal to men looking for the practical solutions?
So with solution-focused hypnotherapy, it's a fantastic approach, especially for men who don't want to dwell on the past. So rather than unpicking every painful memory, we focus on the future, on practical, solution-orientated strategies that help clients move forward. So it's dynamic, it's empowering, and we use a mix of hypnosis and therapy to help men break the negative thought patterns. And it works brilliantly for those who want real, noticeable results without spending years in therapy. So it's action-based, and it's incredibly appealing to men who want to make the changes now. So I always say that people say, I haven't got the motivation. And I say to them, you don't lack motivation, you lack clarity. And so when we have clarity, and then when we take action, what that does is propel us forward and gives us a forward momentum. And that's what solution-focused hypnotherapy and solution-focused brief therapy does. It gives you that momentum of moving forward, because you're taking those actions, you're taking those small steps. So you're looking at what's the next small step to then bridge that gap from where you are to where you want to be.
Brilliant. So it's all about moving forwards, basically, away from the past and that kind of thing.
Yeah, because you're not that person anymore. You're not the person you was an hour ago, a day ago, 4 days ago. We change all the time.
Oh, I like that. That makes a lot of sense. We're not who we're going to be in the next 1 hour. We're going to be completely different, because we might have different thoughts about different things. And, yeah, you know, beliefs change, aims change, objectives change. And that's brilliant. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I can hear some of the therapy sessions a bit in you right now from when you're saying this. Yeah, but it makes a lot of sense. It's brilliant stuff, you know?
Yeah. And it's so, and I think the one thing that people, I think, affects them a lot is the fact of not poo-pooing other modalities. But other modalities can make it seem a lot more difficult than it needs to for recovery. And for sure, having too many, there's too many sessions, because it's not as effective. So, you know, if I was still seeing somebody weekly, 6 months later, there's a problem. There's a big problem.
Do you find some clients sometimes they make it a bit more difficult for themselves than it needs to be?
Yeah, I think they can complicate it because of how traditional therapies have presented themselves. And traditional therapies, you come in and, you know, it'll be like, tell me what you're feeling. Tell me what's wrong. Whereas when you come into a solution-focused therapy session, we're not talking about that. I'm like, tell me what's been good. And the person will say, like, oh, nothing's been good. And I'll be like, well, we're going to be sitting here until you tell me something that's been good. Because that's not the end of the game.
Yeah,
exactly. There must be something. And then once we find that anchor, then we work on it, we add to it, and we build to it. And it's quite interesting, because then during the session, they'll then say, oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't view it as that. I didn't da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, well, yeah, like, you might have had a bad situation where your cat got run over and your nan died, but did you still turn up to do what you needed to do? Did you still sort things out? And they'll be like, yeah. And I'll be like, okay, then. So you weren't in a corner crying, snivelling. You were getting on with it, and you were moving forward, and you were doing things, and that shows strength.
That's brilliant, because you're kind of, I can hear from what you do as well, you point out the positives, because I'm sure people come to you about a lot of the things that are not going so well and the negatives, but you mentioned it earlier and you said, right, okay, so what's going good for you? There must be something. And then you'll pause and wait for that person to say something that is positive. And so it sounds, which is brilliant, it sounds like you inject a lot of positivity into what, you know, letting this person listen to themselves talk. And yeah, listening them say, they can listen to themselves telling you, actually,
this is going well. And it kind of it reinforces their positivity, doesn't it?
Yeah, because then they realise that they don't do all things bad, because, you know, it leaves it open for the feast or famine, then they'll be like, I've never been loved and I always get this wrong. I'm like, you always get it wrong, you always. So from the time you're born, you always. And they're like, oh my God, she's being so like sassy and so salacious. And I'm like, no, for real, always. And they're like, well, not always, is it exactly, not always.
Exactly,
so there are examples or instances where you have got things right, where it hasn't always been bad. So give me those, tell me those.
Absolutely, I think that's brilliant, because I think sometimes us guys, we get too bogged down in, this is not right, this is a negative, this is not going right, when we're kind of completely missing out on, well, hold on a second, this is going right, I've done this, I've achieved this before, or whatever it might be, because everybody's got something positive that they can explain that they've done in the past, or they've done today or something. It could be anything. I went out for a walk. That's brilliant, because there's some people out there that find that difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've spoken to some people that find it difficult just to go out. I remember speaking to someone years ago, and they found it difficult to get on a train.
Yes.
Or a bus, using public transport. So, you know, I think it's brilliant how you, in your sessions, you reinforce about positivity and, you know, let that person, you know, talk about, you know, push them to kind of thinking for themselves, this is going right, though. And they can take that away with them, because obviously what you do is you support that person during the session. They take this away with them because at the end of the day, they have to support themselves in their own thoughts. They have to think, right, I've got to get up in the morning. This is where gratitude comes in, for example.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't it? Which is great. I do that every day. If I don't do it in the morning, I'm doing it during the day. Something will happen. I think, hold on a second. I'm still breathing. I'm eating. I'm moving. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for these things. And I know they might see some people saying, like, oh, yeah, but we all do that. But it's not that. You know, it's about being appreciative that we can still do these things, you know, and just appreciating things and the sunlight and all sorts and the ability to breathe.
Well, this is it. And gratitude plays such a key part. And one thing I do get my clients to do, such a key part in rewiring your brain and building new neural pathways. And the one book that I'm reading at the moment that I get clients to read as well, The Magic. And The Magic is based on gratitude and getting, there's certain steps, so you practice it for 28 days. But essentially, at the moment that I'm in, I've got a gratitude rock, took it literally, went and got a rock from a stream, but we'll talk about that another day. And you practice giving gratitude while holding this rock. So it's like you're placing all your gratitude, and that gets you looking at the more positive things in life. So again, not toxic positivity. However, the brain is there to look for what's wrong, because the brain is there to keep us safe. And what we need to do is train it to look for the positives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll just go to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You mentioned, Nicola, rewiring the brain in your work. For our listeners who may not be familiar with this concept, what does brain rewiring entail and how can it transform someone's mental health?
So when I talk about brain rewiring, I'm referring to how we train our brains to form new, healthier pathways. And our minds love to get stuck in familiar patterns of negative thinking, of stress responses, even self-doubt. So I work with clients to break those cycles by focusing on positive, solution-orientated thought processes. And over time, this rewiring can reduce anxiety, build resilience and improve mental clarity. So it's transformative. And so instead of reacting to life's challenges on autopilot, the clients start responding from a place of strength and from a place of calm. So it's good for everything. One of the things it's really good for is when you look at performance. So whether that's sports performance, performance within work, performance within life, brain rewiring sharpens where you are at. And also kicks in quicker, so you respond rather than you react. And so, you know, it kind of kicks the more dramatic side of your brain to the curb and allows you to step in, get in the driver's seat and take control.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Many men are high-performing professionals who they feel can't show vulnerability. What does BrainWorks therapy offer to support men who are juggling intense careers and mental health challenges?
So at BrainWorks Therapy, it is all about supporting high achievers. So whether that's high achieving females, the professional women, or high performing men who feel that they need to keep it all together. But the constant pressure can quickly lead to burnout. And so I offer solution focused sessions that fit into busy lives, providing them tools for setting boundaries, because that's so important, managing stress and balancing their responsibilities. I also teach techniques to reframe negative thinking so they're not carrying work stress home with them. And the goal is to help men thrive in their careers and feel mentally strong so they don't have to choose between the two.
Okay. Okay. With issues like substance misuse and dual diagnosis often going hand in hand with mental health concerns, how do you help men get to the root of these problems and make, you know, lasting changes?
So in my line of work, I often see substance misuse used as a coping mechanism. Now I'm just going to progress for 1 minute and go off on a little tangent. So one of the biggest misuse substance that is legal is alcohol, and people often don't see alcohol as a problem. So they're like, yeah, I might go out for a drink after work every night. Do you think that's an issue? No, that's normal, because it's turned into be normal culture. And then in some services, so we look at the prison service, police service, any emergency service or anything like that, you'll find there's a high prevalence of alcohol misuse because it's embedded into the culture and it's portrayed as being normal, a ways of coping. So men may turn to alcohol or drugs as a way to escape or manage those intense emotions. So at BrainWorks Therapy, we focus at getting to the heart of what's really going on by using solution-focused approach. And so I help my clients address their mental health directly, giving them a healthier, more effective way to cope with stress and anxiety. And it's about showing them that there are tools beyond substances to handle life's challenges. So we're not just managing symptoms, we're here to create deep, long-lasting change.
Absolutely. If there's one thing you want men to take away from this conversation about mental health and BrainWorks therapy, what would that be?
Well, I want men to know that taking care of your mental health is the ultimate strength. We always want them to do things for themselves. But if they must and they want to do it for somebody else, it's the ultimate and the best thing that you can do for your friends and for your family. So it's not about fixing weakness. It's about building resilience and living life to the fullest. And so Brainworks Therapy is here to help men break the stigma, to overcome mental health challenges and to thrive. And you don't have to go it alone. Support is here. And real change is possible. It really is.
Absolutely, absolutely. Perimenopause and menopause are big focuses at Brainworks Therapy, I know. But can men's experiences like midlife crisis be seen through a similar lens?
Absolutely. So men face significant transitions too. So whether it's midlife challenges, career shifts, or personal upheavals, these changes can feel disorientating, but they also present an opportunity to reassess and to grow. So at Brainworks Therapy, I help men navigate these periods by working on mindset and resilience, and we focus on setting new goals, building self-confidence, and finding a renewed sense of purpose. Transitions don't have to feel like a crisis. They can be a powerful time for transformation and self-discovery.
Absolutely. Nicola, thank you for, as always, you know, to coming to the show and supporting, you know, women's and men's mental health and giving advice, etc. If people want to reach out to you, where can they find you?
They can find me at Brainworks Therapy on Instagram and Facebook, and then they can find me as Nicola Noel, N-O-E-L, on LinkedIn.
Lovely. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.